Benson welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach your word and the opportunity to hear. The Bible tells us, "He who has ears, let them hear." It's a spiritual hearing. Yes, we all hear the words coming out of my mouth, and yes, we all hear the scriptures. But Father, there is a work of the Spirit that must be done so that that hearing goes beyond our minds and sinks into our hearts. We're grateful for this opportunity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're working ourselves through Luke, and we are in Luke chapter 19, and let's face it, in the 19th chapter of Luke, how things start off, there is a man here that needs no introduction, especially if you've been raised in church from the time you were little. Right, Lynette?
Right.
Very nice. She deserves a raise because 2 minutes before I got up here, I said, "Hey, Lynette, do you know that song about Zacchaeus?" And she gave me that look. You know the look? She gave me that look. Charlie, you know that look. So here we have Jesus, if you look back at your Bible, in verse 1, again, entered and passing through Jericho, just like our sermon started off when he healed blind Bartimaeus. And if you recall, I'm not going to go in all the detail, that Jesus is setting out on his final destination. He is passing through Jericho, along with everyone else. And if you recall, just as a reminder, there's a pilgrimage going on. There's Passover, so he's on his way to Jerusalem with lots of other people. And so it would be like a small town that's pretty regular, 360 days out of the year, and then maybe for 5 days when something special is happening, it just comes to life. And so that's why with the blind Bartimaeus and with Zacchaeus, you find Jesus and these characters surrounded by so many people. So that's just a little bit of context. But verses 2 through 4, we can actually learn a lot of what's going on here. What can we learn? Well, first thing we learn is the person's name. We learn that he's interacting, or there's someone that wants to see Jesus, and his name is Zacchaeus. We also learn that he is not only a tax collector, he is a chief tax collector. And again, if you've been following through this series, I'm not going to go back and go through what it means to be a tax collector. Just simply to read the words tax collector, to understand what it meant in that time, they were the people that were looked down upon. They were traitors. They were in alignment with the Roman government. They would tax people, exploit people. They were just really, really hated individuals. And here we have the chief tax collector. So you can imagine how you would feel about the regular tax collectors, and then there's the head honcho tax collector. So whatever way you felt in terms of not liking a regular tax collector, you can multiply that times 1,000 when there's the chief tax collector, okay? So we know his status. Obviously, he had a lot of money. He was rich. But the Bible says something interesting. He had a certain desire. And behold, there was a man called Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And then in verse 3, we learn he was trying to see who Jesus was. And he was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So we see that this man had a desire. And what was his desire? Luke doesn't hide it at all. He basically just says, hey, he wants to find out who this Jesus is. He wants to see Jesus. Not unlike the blind beggar a few weeks ago. We also know something about his stature and that he was a short little guy. And we know something about his demeanor and that he's savvy. He's a very savvy person. So the Bible opens this up in verse 4. That's the background. Then we read, and he ran on ahead of the crowd, climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. So why do I say he was savvy? So Jesus is passing through town. Everybody knows Jesus is going to be in town. And the Bible says he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take some preacher liberties here because I'm going to tell you what I think happened and why he had to do that. It's not in the Bible, but I just think human nature is today the same as it was thousands of years ago, as it will be, you know, until Jesus returns. So there's the crowd. Now obviously the crowd had the same desire as Zacchaeus. They wanted to see Jesus. But why did he have to run ahead to see Jesus? Couldn't he have just stood and, like everybody else, like you go to a parade and you just walk up and you just, yeah, that's great, as they go by. Why couldn't he do that? Well, the Bible says he was short, but still, couldn't he have still just gotten there early and walked to the front? That's exactly what was happening. Charlie Winterberger, stealing my thunder Sunday morning. So everybody despises Zacchaeus. He is the arch enemy. He is on the top of the list of people we don't like, and you find chief tax collector. So as all the people were there watching this go on, you ever go to a concert and you want to really save your spot, and you see someone that gets there late, and you see them behind you, and they start making their way to the front, and you're like, oh, no, no, no. Once they get here, you can forget it. I'm a wall. I'm a human wall, right? They go here. I go there. That's what was happening here. There was a chain link of people that said, uh-uh, not today, not that guy. Mm-mm. I'm here, and he's not going to get in front of me. He's not going to see Jesus. So Zacchaeus, although he's despised, I guarantee you this guy was very good with money, he was savvy, he was smart, and he was a forward thinker. And you see that in verse 4. And he ran on ahead, he thought. Watch this. I know what I'll do. I'll climb up one of those fancy sycamore trees because it's something that's so low to the ground, I can climb all the way up and I can get there to see Jesus. And I love preaching this way because it takes these things that we've learned through all of our years and it takes them and makes them human. Because after all, these are people. And so just like maybe some of us would have done, we would have went, okay, I know what I'll do. I'll go up a little bit further. Nobody's there. I'll climb up a tree and I'll have a perfect view of Jesus. So that's what he does. That's what he does. And then in verse 5 through 6, there's this interaction. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry. Come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. I want you to notice something, and it's these words. Look back at verse 5 if you have your Bible open. Jesus came to the place. If you have your own Bible, here's what I want you to do. I give you permission to take a pen, or if some of you use crayon, I think Ben uses crayon. Circle that, and here's why we want to circle that. When Jesus came to the place, you see, he came to the place. It doesn't say a place, it was the place. What does that mean? In the grand scheme of things, God is sovereign. We believe that as Presbyterians. God is sovereign. He is in control of all things. And even though Zacchaeus thought he was the master of his fate, and he thought he was doing all of this on his own, really, this was an incredible work of God. That sycamore tree, whenever that was planted there, by whom that was planted there, was not an accident. Can you imagine that? God had this plan so that one day he will be passing through Jericho, and there will be people blocking this man that wants to see him, and he put it in a heart years ago that the seed would be sown, and there would be a sycamore tree right there so that this man that wanted to see him and was being prevented was able. That's the kind of God we serve. His ways are not our ways. And that's a good thing. So Jesus comes to that place, and here he calls him. And when he came to the place, he looked up, and he said to him, Zacchaeus. Let's stop there for a second. I don't know how Zacchaeus did not just have a heart attack and fall right out of that tree. Can you imagine? Jesus doesn't know Zacchaeus. And here he's walking around, and all of a sudden he looks up. Can you imagine the eye contact? He sees me. Zacchaeus. How'd he know? He tells him to come down. And he is about to get what he thinks he wants. He wants to see Jesus, just like the blind man wanted to see Jesus. And he calls him by name, and here they are standing face to face. It's one of those incredible moments, because remember, the crowd has something in mind about Zacchaeus. So now Jesus and Zacchaeus are standing face to face, toe to toe. So in the crowd's mind, if you've been following along in Luke, you can only imagine what they're thinking is going to happen. They're thinking, this is the moment we have been waiting for. Everybody watch what's going to happen to that Zacchaeus. Watch what Jesus is going to say to him. He's going to rip right through him. I just can't wait for Jesus to give it to him. I hope he says everything that we would have said to him. So the Bible picks up the crowd in verse 3 as he was trying to see Jesus. He was unable to because of the crowd. So there's two things we learn here about the crowd. The first is they were preventing this man from seeing Jesus. This is not the first time that I've said that in the pulpit. In fact, if you draw your attention to the last chapter, you will read on two different occasions that there are groups of people trying to prevent people from getting to Jesus. The first was when Christ blesses the children. If you remember that, the Bible says that they were bringing even their babies to him so that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking him. That's the first time. Jesus is with the children and the disciples, his own followers. Those that were ministering with Jesus were stopping children from coming to him. The second time is with the blind Bartimaeus. If you recall in verse 18 and 39, and those who had led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept on crying all the more. That's a very, very powerful and convicting lesson for all of us. And I'm just going to say it one more time. We must never get in the way of those that want to see Jesus. In my mind, that is one of the largest sins that we could ever commit as a Christian and as a church. We never want to be the people that put roadblocks when somebody wants to see Jesus. But the second thing we see here in the crowd is in verse 7. And when they saw this interaction, they all began to, the Bible says, grumble. They started to grumble. And if you recall in Luke chapter 15, when Jesus is telling the parables of the lost sheep, Luke starts off like this. And all the tax gatherers and sinners were coming to him to listen to him. And both the Pharisees and scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Here's the lesson. The lesson is we should be excited when people are coming to Jesus. We should not be the ones grumbling when people make their way to Jesus. But here we find again, it was the crowd, it was the Pharisees that were always upset, grumbling, murmuring, whatever word you want, they were not happy. So the crowd sees the interaction and they're upset. They start to grumble and murmur with one another. And so we must always remember as believers that the reason that we are saved, the reason that we know Christ, is simply and solely because of the grace of God Almighty. The Bible says that we are saved not because of our works, but because of His grace in our lives. And when we think about it like that, it helps us to remember that we had to come to Jesus at some point in our lives. And so we ought to allow others to come to Jesus in their lives also. Now there's this interaction when Zacchaeus finally makes it down the tree. And Luke says this, "And when Jesus came to that place, He looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner.' And Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much.' And Jesus said, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham.'" A lot of what I've been doing up here is connecting the dots, showing you how all of these chapters and stories are really connected. And here's some more connections for us. This is about possessions. I want us to think about the rich young ruler in the previous chapter. You remember the guy? He walks up to Jesus and he says, "How can I inherit eternal life? How can I get to heaven?" And Jesus says, "Keep the commandments." And if you recall, he said, "I've kept them all." And then Jesus said to him, "One last thing. Go and sell all of your possessions." What was that sermon about? One word. Idolatry. That was about breaking the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And for the rich young ruler, his God was his wealth. It was his material. Here is a man, this is purely conjecture, that might have been standing in earshot of that conversation perhaps, listening to that. And maybe he was convicted and he thought to himself, "Here I am ripping people off. Here I am robbing people of their money. My God is my money." And maybe that's why he was so eager to run up that tree and see Jesus. But you see, where the rich young ruler failed, Zacchaeus succeeds. He realizes that his money was his God, and look how he responds to Jesus. He repents. He has a change of heart and a change of mind. He says, "No longer will those possessions rule my life. No longer will those be a God in my life." We know that because he literally says, "Hey, look, almost everything I have, I will repay. I'll give it back." So there's a change in his heart. And you must wonder, and sometimes I wonder, what happens when the preaching of God's word goes out? Why does it have such a powerful effect on one person, and on another person, seemingly it has no effect? How can there be a person that hears the preaching of the word, has their life changed, and is living a godly life, and then perhaps sitting right next to that person, the word of God is preached and it has no effect? How is that? Well, C.H. Spurgeon, the great preacher, said this, "The same sun which melts wax also hardens the clay, and the same gospel which melts some person's heart to repentance hardens others in their sins." And that's an example of what we're seeing here. The same message was preached to two men. The rich young ruler heard the message and he walked away sad, the Bible says. This man heard the message and he had a heart change. And then Jesus goes on and teaches that he too is a son of Abraham. Now Zacchaeus was probably not a Jewish man, but the Bible says that he was a son of Abraham, which there's something very powerful here too, and that is this. Being a child of God has less to do with what part of the earth you are living in, and more to do with your spiritual condition. It is the heart that God is looking at. Many of us think that to be a son of Abraham, you have to be of Jewish descent. You have to be born in Israel. But Jesus is going against all of that and saying, look, this man is a son of Abraham. He's a child of God, not because he's an Israelite, but because he had a heart change. He had a heart change. John teaches this. There was a true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. And then he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Those who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, but of God. And friends, on this day, this was fulfilled. This was fulfilled right in the eyes of everybody. Yes, he was born, but he was born of the Spirit. And there was something that changed in his heart. And that is the mark of every true believer. There should be a heart change in every true believer. And then finally, we read this. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a child of Abraham. And then he gives this encompassing, powerful mission statement as if to remind everybody yet again why I am here. He said, look, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. When you first read this encounter, you think it's Zacchaeus that's looking for Jesus. It's not. It's Jesus that's looking for Zacchaeus. That's who Jesus is. He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And even though Zacchaeus planned all these things, it wasn't Zacchaeus at the end of the day that was looking for Jesus. It was Jesus that got to that spot, the Bible says, and looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I need to stay at your house. He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He seeks the lost sheep that gets away, doesn't he? He seeks that coin that is hard to find. He looks for the prodigal son that gets away because that's the heart of the Father. In the beginning of the service, we read from Psalm 86, and we read these words, He stands ready to forgive. He stood ready to forgive Zacchaeus that day, and he stands ready to forgive you today. If there's somebody in this room that this message is resonating with, you feel convicted in your heart, you need a Savior in your life, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, it is amazing that you are the hound of heaven. You come looking for us when we are led astray. And you came looking for this man. And through him, you worked, changed his life. And you've done that for us in this room. We pray for those that have not yet received that and is just waiting at the door, that they would be open, ready to receive and have their lives changed. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now as we conclude our service this morning, let us sing hymn number 300, When I Survive.